You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Good morning. Welcome to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, and Calvin Butenoff coming to you live from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. You can join us. Call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. Or you can leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Delighted to be joined by a frequent guest of ours. And if you watch cable news, he has been all over the place on shows much bigger than ours. Retired Major General Randy Manner is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, Jane and Greg and Calvin. Good to see you all again.
Appreciate you making time for us. There are a lot of things going on. I wanted to start off with a little bit talking about the big parade on Saturday, marking the 250th birthday of the Army, also in conjunction with Donald Trump's 79th birthday. There were a lot of comments that I saw, Randy, about the lack of precision, I guess I would say, in the marching that was displayed. And there are some folks who think that that was deliberate, that that was a deliberate sign from our troops, maybe kind of a passive-aggressive sign from our troops that they really didn't want to be there.
Okay, so first of all, I need to thank all the members, past and present, of the U.S. Army for celebrating 250 years of service to our nation. It's absolutely amazing that we have been able to sustain a heritage of service to our citizens and defending our country. And so my sincere thanks go out to every single soldier, past and present. And my thanks to all the soldiers that were in that parade. I need to tell all of your listeners, soldiers hate parades.
I bet.
I hate parades. When I was a lieutenant in the 82nd Airborne, which many of those soldiers were from, we did about 10 to 14,000 member pass and review, which is a huge monster parade. And it was very old school. And we practiced for days and days and days. And then uniforms had to be perfect. And you know, it's not what we do. And we all hated it. And it's horrible. So my heart goes out to all those soldiers that did it. And good for you for following your orders and for doing it. And I'm proud of you for doing that. At the same time, we hate parades. I've celebrated birthdays for the Army in combat zones. I've done it in the Pentagon. I've done it at Fort Bragg. I've done it literally all around the world. And the Army concept of a celebration of our birthday is we have a birthday cake, number one, or many, depending on the number of troops.
Sure.
We invite up the oldest member of the group, the youngest member. They cut the cake, not the colonel or the general or the sergeant major. They cut the cake. We have brief, and I mean 3 or 4 minute speeches by a few people, the senior enlisted leader. We ask the junior person to speak. And we have cake, and we have like an hour break in the day, and we celebrate us, and we celebrate us.
Yeah.
And we tell stories. And it's very low key, but yet everyone appreciates the cake, you know? Unfortunately, that's not what happened here on Saturday.
What I'm hearing from you, sir, is you take an hour out of your day to celebrate the culture of the military and what you have done. Because more than that, honestly, is a diversion of time, manpower, resources, and you got to get back to work and do the thing. Whereas this parade, and I share your feelings about this as far as them coming here to Washington and doing what they were told to do to celebrate. I get that. But that is a massive diversion of resources, time, manpower, projects that are not getting done, work that's not being done, all to the tune of tens of millions of dollars when you said perfectly, they don't want to be there.
Right. And Jane, answering your question specifically, is that in contrast to the Russian parades, the North Korean parades, where you see everybody literally marching perfectly.
Yes.
Well, those are typically because they spend hundreds and hundreds. I mean, literally, we're talking hundreds, not tens, but hundreds and hundreds of hours practicing. Well, what are they doing? They're practicing marching.
Yeah.
Now, in the United States military, thank goodness those days that I was involved with as a lieutenant many decades ago are long gone. We don't march. The only people who train how to march are ceremonial units,
right,
like the 3rd Infantry Regiment out of Fort Myer for funerals and for state events. They've got to look sharp. Their uniforms have got to be super straight. And it's like that's an honor for them to do what they do to represent the military with foreign dignitaries and for burials and so on. The average soldier, including me, we barely go left, right, left, right. So in answering your question, I don't think it was a deliberate act to say they were basically protesting silently. I don't think so. I really don't. That's too many people. It's unlikely. I think it's because we don't practice that.
Well, and I think you make an excellent, excellent point. Good heavens, they are trained to go to war. They are not trained to march in formation. They are not trained to look like a marching band. That's not what our troops are trained for. And it makes me think, Major General, that when we look at these troops in North Korea and Russia, you almost have to wonder if they have a unit that isn't specially devoted just to that.
Well, but remember, there are massive numbers of those soldiers that are in those parades. I mean, massive numbers. We had whatever it was, 6,000 or 7,000. They will have 10, 20, 30, 40, 50,000 all marching with just as concise movements. It is a large, very large parade. And so you probably have seen memes all over the place with, you know, Putin and the leader of North Korea laughing at our soldiers and so on, and our tanks being, instead of it being 200 tanks, there's only like 50 tanks.
Right.
Well, the point is, our military trains for combat, and that is what we do. And we are excellent at it. And everybody in the world knows we're good at this. We're not trying to beat our chest. That's why we don't have parades like this.
Right.
We will see you on the battlefield. We will not, we're not going to see you on the parade field. So I don't think this was a silent protest. I think it's just indicative of the fact that, thank goodness, and I hope it never changes, we don't devote lots of time to practice marching.
Yeah. So one of the things that we talked about last week, I think this parade is indicative of where the administration has gone, because we shouldn't forget that he wanted to do this in his first term, and the people around him, the guardrails, essentially,
yes,
whether it was military or just even in the White House, said, no, we can't do this. We shouldn't do this. It doesn't look good. I don't know if you were if you were still working at the time, but it shows, one, it shows just that the guardrails are gone. He can do whatever he wants, and everyone's going to say, yes, that's a wonderful idea. Let's have a parade. But also, was there any, in your experience, any president or anyone who said, maybe we should have a parade? That would be a good idea.
So it's important to look back in history. The United States has had military parades.
Mm-hmm.
It's like at the end of World War I, at the end of World War II, after Desert Storm. However, it was in the moment. It wasn't like, let's have a parade today.
Yeah.
And the idea that it was a 250th anniversary, yeah, whatever.
Right.
I mean, that's just not good enough. It's not worth spending all that taxpayer money, your money, my money, and all your listeners' money to put that parade on. It was obvious, and it was sad.
It was,
quite frankly.
Yes.
All the empty bleachers. I mean, it was just absolutely feeding the egos of the people that were in those stands right there in front of the White House or the side of the White House. And it's just very, very unfortunate. It was an absolute inappropriate use of taxpayer money and of soldiers' time. I need to also comment, you know, I have stood in Red Square. I have stood in Tiananmen Square. I have stood in North Korea on the edge of the DMZ. I have seen the way that dictators use their military not only to quite frankly, show their might on TV, but also, quite frankly, it's a threat to the people.
To their own people.
To show, hey, don't screw with us, yep, because these guys could be in your backyard tomorrow. Mm. And by the way, it happens all the time. And that is something where we must not ever allow this to be normalized. It is absolutely not right to have soldiers and Marines on the street of LA. It is, I am appalled. The president has approved 700 additional people for Florida, Texas, and somewhere else. I just saw the press release, Texas, Florida, Louisiana, to help with ICE operations. We've got to get the military out of this business and turn it over to those that are trained to do this. It just appalls me. It is a misuse of, again, we need these scarce, highly trained resources to practice and do the things they need to do to protect the nation,
yes,
not to implement his policies internally in the United States.
If you're just joining us, retired Major General Randy Manner is our guest with the U.S. Army for more than 30 years, talking about all the many developments around the second Trump presidency. And going back to what you had said about Trump sending in troops into L.A. without the request of the governor, without the request of California's attorney general, the L.A. police chief, the L.A. mayor, no one requested this. And now I also saw this morning that they are planning on more ICE raids in blue cities. Now they're going to concentrate on blue cities. I can only imagine, Randy, that the troops have to be appalled by this duty.
So I have been talking with only a few dozen people in the Guard and the in active duty. And it's important for your listeners to hear, while, of course, the exact details are still working their way through the court system, it is my opinion, these are probably legal orders. I mean, that's my opinion based on being the Vice Chief of the National Guard, the Acting Vice Chief of the National Guard Bureau. And given that they're legal orders, the military is obligated to do it. Now, is it make it right? Well, of course not. Is it a gross misuse of a scarce resource? Absolutely it is. What we are seeing is two important things. Before I even say my sure. two important things, I want to applaud the law enforcement of Los Angeles. They are doing a wonderful job keeping things under control. And this is, again, a law enforcement operation, not a military operation.
Right.
I say again to your listeners, this is a law enforcement operation, not a military operation. There is zero need for those military. There's zero need, especially Marines. If that's not using military to intimidate the local population, I've worked with Marines all over the world. Marines have one objective. Go kill that target. Okay, boss, I'm going to go kill that target. I'm going to knock it down. And they are the best in the world at what they are trained to do. That does not make them qualified in any manner of any imagination to put them in with United States citizens, literally feet apart. That's not right.
We're going to continue our conversation with retired Major General Randy Manner on the other side. Stay with us. You are listening to Matt Nair on Air. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Good morning. Welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text at 855 752 402-464-8842. You can also leave a comment if you're watching on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Our guest is retired Major General Randy Manner. Spent more than 30 years in the U.S. Army, talking about a number of things, including President Trump's birthday parade, ostensibly to celebrate the 250th birthday of the U.S. Army. Greg and I have talked about this, Major General, weeks before you joined us, that the Navy and the Marines got to feel kind of bad because they both have birthdays this year, too, and they don't get a big splashy parade. But
please don't think that. We don't know what's going to happen yet.
Well, that's true. Yeah, that's very true. You had a couple of points you wanted to make before we had to go to the break.
Yes, please. Whether you live in a red county or a blue county, no matter where you are in the political spectrum, there are two things that every American should be concerned about: the deployment of American soldiers and Marines within our cities, towns, and so on. And the first one is everybody, our First Amendment rights to free speech are absolutely being trampled. This is critical, critically important for everybody. I don't care who you are, to understand this is the beginning of this crackdown. Number two, the federal government is absolutely stomping on states' rights to govern themselves.
Yes.
And again, this is a common theme. I don't care if you're red or blue. Leave the darn states alone to do what they need to do to take care of their citizens. This idea of calling in the National Guard, taking it away from California and saying, nope, sorry, you are an idiot. I don't like you because you don't agree with me, and therefore I'm going to take over stuff in your state. That's just so anti-American and so anti what we all should be appalled about as Americans, no matter what end of the political spectrum we're under.
Absolutely. But you're so right, Randy. And I think you make a really good point as well, just about the visual intimidation factor and how that gets into your head and how that works its way into people's heads. And I think it's really important that folks keep that in mind. And like you said, this affects all of us, red, blue, green, pink, whatever.
And one of the things we've said before many times on this show is that, yes, you may love the administration, the president, whomever it is, but when they are pulling things like this and testing loyalties and deploying troops and police on places who disagree with them, there will come a time when you are in their crosshairs because you won't be enough, or you'll just be collateral damage because they don't care about you enough to say, well, does Steve like us? Nah, don't care. So at some point, you will be in their crosshairs. They will find you not enough,
loyal enough.
Enough for them.
Right. That's what we all need to be concerned about, is federal government, leave us alone.
Yeah.
Okay.
And as you said, Randy, the Republicans have all been about states' rights. It's all about states' rights. Send it back to the states. Abortion, send it back to the states. It's all about state rights, except when it's not. Except when they don't want it to be.
And that's really where we have to have the discussion and the soul searching for those people who are not members of the cult right now, is for those people who have the ability to look within themselves and to talk to their neighbors about what really is going on. Then there is some hope for them to see this is not what America is about. Mm-hmm. Those members that are of a cult, the leader can do no wrong. We already know about that.
Yep.
For everyone else, we need to stand up. And we need to provide hope to our neighbors, to each other, to our children, that they can grow up, quite frankly, being all they can be, using an Army recruiting slogan. Sorry. But anyway.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's what we saw this past weekend, was millions of people marching peacefully through the streets saying, this is not what America is. This is not us. We are a group. We are about freedom, and they've weaponized the word freedom, but we are about standing up and utilizing those rights that are in the Constitution that our leaders are supposed to be defending. Thank goodness lawyers and judges are doing that right now. But yeah, I think that hope I saw this past weekend.
Yes, I completely agree. That was what was on display. And it's also something where whether you are poor or you're middle class or you're rich, anywhere in between, we all got to get through this thing together. We've got to get through this together. And this issue about immigration, it's very important for me to remind everybody, 97% of every human being in the United States is an immigrant. 97%. So sometimes you got to get off all your high horse and say, well, wait, I just don't like brown-skinned people. I mean, come on. My great-great-great-grandparents immigrated from Germany in the 1840s. I'm an immigrant, or I'm descendant of immigrants.
Yes.
Yeah.
And we all are. We have, 97% of us are.
Well, and statistically, again, if you want to look at the numbers, look at the numbers. Immigrants to this country commit crimes at far, far lower rates than do actual citizens of this country.
Yeah.
Oh, look, I will tell you that the immigrants that I know in the neighborhood here in Virginia, unequivocally, and by the way, please understand, I am 100% for holding lawbreakers accountable for their actions. 100%. No doubt about this.
Yep.
At the same time, I'm going to tell you that the far overwhelming majority, which is typically far more than people who've been here for generations, they are extremely hardworking. They take the jobs that no one else wants. And I'm so proud of them that they're part of our society.
If only we would put some more money towards fixing our immigration system, that would help a whole lot of folks and help our country at the same time. Randy Manner is a retired Major General with the United States Army. Sir, thank you so very much for your time. Really, really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you, Jane and Greg and Kelvin.
We have news coming up next. Keep it here. You are listening to Matt and Air on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network. Good morning. Welcome back to Matt and Air on Air. Jane Matt and Air, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine. Join us, call or text. The number is the same, 855-752-4842. You can leave a comment on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Coming up in about 15 minutes, we'll wrap up the show around 10:51-ish. With this shouldn't be a thing, today it is the Catch Me If You Can edition. It's a good one.
Yeah.
Calvin found this one.
He's good at them.
He is good at them.
He is our Tisbat hunter.
He is the Tisbat hunter. You can be as well. If you ever have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at janesays@civicmedia.us. JaneSays. janesays@civicmedia.us. Use that same address to contact the show. If there's a business that you think would be good for Beyond the Cheese.
Yes, please.
If there is a fundraiser in your community, whether you're in Oshkosh or Hayward or wherever you are around the state, you can always get in touch with the show at janesays@civicmedia.us. It is 10:36. This is the segment that we call Audio Sorbet.
I feel cleansed already.
Right? It's a cleansing for the ear away from the heavy topics of the news and all of those things that are a little bit exhausting. So we like to take a little break and lighten it up for the last half an hour of the show. This could be a very contentious argument.
Yes. I heard it is.
People have strong feelings about this. So here we go. Bagels, toasted or no? 855-752-4842. Bagels, toasted or no? 855-75-CIVIC. 855-752-4842. From articles that I have seen, if you are a bagel purist, you should not toast your bagel.
Okay.
I'm just saying what I've read.
Why? Okay. Then I respond with this question.
Okay.
Why would a purist say that?
I think because I always imagine like the creation of the bagel out east. yeah. as a New York City creation.
Mm-hmm.
And I have read that New Yorkers
many people are saying
do not toast their bagels. Do not toast bagels. And I am not a bagel purist. I love toasted bagels.
I would honestly, like, I feel like the purest line, like, why? I can understand.
So, okay. I don't know if it's the texture.
It's freshness.
It's the freshness and the texture mm-hmm. is unadulterated, non-toasted.
The flavor is untouched by the heat of the toaster oven.
There's something going on, but I guess toasting changes the bagel in a way that is a crime.
The toaster oven changes the molecular structure of the goodness that is America, the bagel.
See, I think nothing's better than a toasted bagel and a schmear. That's what it's called. It's called a schmear.
I know, but the way you said it, I wish there was like, you know, inspirational music behind it. There's nothing better. I'm just going to do a lot of voices during this segment because that's what I want to do because this is fun. But I don't know. I guess I go, I guess maybe call me a super progressive. I go both ways.
Oh,
because
you're a bagel swing.
Calvin, don't look at the camera like that. I see your face. Your face can't hide your disdain of what I just said. He's a bagel purist. It's like he eats them raw. They don't even bake them.
They don't even have to
he's
cook
just
them.
Like, he's just
yeah,
like,
just
I
give
just
me
want,
the dough.
Give me the dough. Throw the dough in my face and some cream cheese.
Audio survey today. Bagel toasted or no. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC.
Luann, is it Wonderos?
Wonderos.
Wonderos, okay.
Correct us if we're wrong, Luann.
Because yeah, I think of Underoos.
I agree with you.
Yeah, so Wonderos.
Listening on WALAK in Amory.
Black. She says, and this I feel like is very, very stern.
Specific.
Sliced. Buttered and grilled, or not at all.
There you go.
I kind of enjoy that sort of, like, she gets
the vehemence.
If she goes to a restaurant and they hand her a bagel and it's not buttered and or not grilled, it's like, excuse me, garçon.
Hello.
Do you not know the ways of the bagel? I order them sliced, buttered, and grilled, or not at all.
Or not at all.
Not at all.
855-752-4842. Audio survey today. Bagels, toasted, or no. 855-75-CIVIC. I prefer a toasted bagel. I like a nice Asiago with cream cheese and chive cream cheese, onion and chive.
I personally, okay, so this is why I could go both ways. If I'm buying store-bought in a bag and they're in my fridge, or not my fridge, don't come at me for how I store my bagels. It's my life. I'm probably going to toast it. I want that buttery, melty, or if it's a plain, I will endeavor into peanut butter and or jelly. If it's a savory, if you try to give me a sweet schmear, I will scream in your face and run away.
Yeah, that shouldn't be.
But
a thing.
If I'm going to a deli, if I'm in New York, when in Rome, I'll go fresh, untoasted.
Untoasted.
I think that's the thing is, if I'm going to a restaurant that's making them fresh in house, I don't think I'm going to get it toasted because I think it's going to
be an
soft
affront to the baker.
Less so than I feel like it's going to be fresh. I don't feel like what I'm getting in the store is super fresh, so just toast it and get it nice and warm and get that. Because, I mean, let's face it. Come on, Jane. Let's just be honest here. Can we have a moment? Folks, can we have a moment of honesty?
Brutal honesty.
I want a moment. Calvin, can you just play the harp music for me really quick? Just really quick. A moment of honesty with Greg.
Okay.
Do you really like bagels, or do you like the schmear that is transported by them?
It's a cream cheese delivery system.
It's a conduit for the schmear or the jelly
of
or whatever
you put it is.
So does it really matter?
It does matter.
Does it matter?
Delivery matters. Yes. Bagels toasted or no, 855-752-4842. Judy from East Troy, fresh made, no toast.
There you go.
All right.
Steve from Milwaukee sent a couple here. Toasted makes it less dry and easier to chew, which I understand. And that's my point with the whole, are you buying it from the store or getting it from the restaurant? I understand that. And then Steve also goes on to say, I agree with Greg. If it's at a deli, it's different. It's just a different experience.
Well, and it's going to be fresher, right? Tom from Wausau listening on WXCO. If it is a fresh bagel, don't toast ever.
Love this.
If it's not fresh or from the fridge or the freezer, toast. As a sandwich, no toast. So Tom has some pretty specific bagel rules, which I appreciate.
I will not lie. Jane and I, before the show went on today, we were a little nervous talking about this topic just because it's very specific.
It is.
But I am so happy to see so many people with not just opinions, but specific opinions on this.
We got rules.
We got rules, and we also have people who know what they want and definitely know what they don't want.
Not being wishy-washy about the bagels.
And Steve, as far as blueberry cream cheese, if it's on a plain bagel, I'll try it. If it's on anything else, get out of town.
I'm with you. I don't like the sweet.
I don't like sweet bagels. I don't like sweet bagels, and I don't like sweet schmear.
Don't put chocolate chips in my bagels.
Don't give me a dessert.
855-752-4842. Yes, the issues of the day, audio sorbet today, bagels toasted or no. Ron from Milwaukee is on the line. Good morning, Ron. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hi, guys. I'm very specific that I need a toasted pumpernickel bagel.
Okay.
Ooh, and it needs to have something on it. I mean, we can, the only time I won't have it, I'm like what somebody said there, maybe, I'm not sure who said it, but if it's going to be like a lunch sandwich, mm-hmm. like a deli sandwich on mm-hmm. a bagel, well, then I don't need it toasted.
Yeah.
I might ask for that, but if there's cheese on it, I might ask. But, and I have a friend who just thinks he's been a bagel aficionado for most of his life, and he thinks anything other than a plain white bagel is a blasphemy.
It's crime.
A pumpernickel bagel. Yeah, it's like an affectation. But I think they're healthier, and I think they have a nice taste, and you can put less stuff on them. A smear, usually peanut butter or just butter or cream cheese,
I stay with your convictions, Ron, for one thing.
Stand up for something.
When you talk to your friend, hold your ground for the pumpernickel bagel. I think that's fantastic.
That is also something to be said. It's the notion of, like, if you love bagels so much, why isn't a plain bagel enough? Why does it have to have melted Asiago cheese or in everything? Or
why
this
does
or
it
that?
Have to have anything?
Why does it have anything in it? Which just brings me back to my point. The bagel is the conduit. No one, like, who's eating a plain bagel with nothing? Toasted or not toasted?
855-752-4842. You nothing on it. No schmear of any kind. There's no one does that.
I just imagine that you're just like, I need carbs right now.
No, I just can't imagine anyone do it. Because you're right. It's a delivery system.
Mm-hmm. Just like
that's like cupcakes.
So can I ask another question?
Sure.
Why is it if I walk into this room right now and I am just eating cream cheese out of a tub with a spoon.
Why is that wrong?
Why is it so less acceptable than if I'm eating it on a bagel?
That's a really interesting question. Should we just be honest?
Let's just be honest. Just you want to eat salsa? Get rid of the chips. Just spoon it out of the tub and put it in your mouth.
It would make life much more direct.
Yes. And people are like, what are you doing? Exactly what I want.
Could do that, like, because I always say cupcakes are nothing more than a frosting delivery system. So
correct.
We could just walk around with a can of frosting, I guess, and get rid of the cake.
Let's get rid of the stigma and get to what we want, which is toppings and cream cheeses.
And butter.
Now,
Calvin, you want to weigh in on the big topic of the day, bagels toasted or no?
Well, I just more wanted to weigh in on the argument that it's only a vehicle for toppings or smear. I think that's a fair point, but then I think that also applies to all bread. I would look at someone just as sideways if they were eating Wonder Bread plain as if they were eating a bagel plain.
In most instances, I would agree mm-hmm. with you, but there are some restaurants that have bread that is so, like, the bread basket is so good. So
that brings up another question then. That brings up, it's about standards and societal norms.
Now we're veering.
You're right.
We're veering.
You're right. I'm sorry. We'll go back to bagels. Because I have a lot of thoughts on this. Why is it okay to eat plain bread before dinner, but I just can't have a piece of bread?
Leading to some whole new audio surveys
here. I agree.
855-752-4842. Troy from Mount Horeb is on the line. Good morning, Troy. We're talking bagels this morning, toasted or no?
If I'm buttering it, toast.
If I'm not buttering it, if I'm smearing it, then plain, not toasted.
You toast only with butter?
Yes, to melt the butter, because that's better.
Okay.
That makes total sense to me. And someone brought up before breakfast sandwiches. I feel like if you're going to put a breakfast sandwich, especially egg and cheese on there, I think some toasting or warming needs to happen to get it all melty and good. Or that cold versus hot is a weird dichotomy. But Troy, that makes sense. That absolutely makes sense. Especially, you want to put the butter. No one wants to look at unmelted butter on a bagel.
Just a big pat of butter sitting there.
Exactly. Wonderful. This doesn't just feel like an airing of your opinions, but also tips.
Life tips. That's what this segment is for.
Exactly.
Yes, life tips. When we return, we're going to wrap up the show with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Today it's the Catch Me If You Can edition. Stay with us. You're listening to Matt Nair on Air on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Good morning and welcome back to Matt Nair on Air. Jane Matt Nair, Greg Bach, Calvinator on the board, coming to you from our studio at Radio Park in Racine, 855-752-4842. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can also leave a comment if you're watching on the live stream on Facebook, YouTube, and what used to be Twitter. Some much warmer weather coming our way. Just a reminder, keep an eye on elderly neighbors. And certainly your pets. Be careful with your dogs. It's supposed to be 90 today, and I was looking ahead a little bit, even into next week.
Yeah.
So you can feel the dew points rising.
Oh, yeah, this morning, it's when that thing of, I get up early, and you get out of the car, you get out of the garage, and you're like, oh, it's going to be a nice breezy morning. You're like, oh, it's warm.
You can feel the moisture.
Yep.
Wow. So, just keep an eye out for your pets and each other. And just a reminder as well, if you are looking for something new to style over the summer, rumor is...
What?
There's new merch coming.
Oh,
Matt Nair on Air merch. Not yet. In the next couple of weeks.
Yes.
In the next couple of weeks.
Yeah.
So we will give you a heads up when that becomes available. Matt Nair on Air merchandise. You can find it at civicmedia.us. Click on the shop button and pick up a new t-shirt.
Yeah. Or something else.
Who
knows?
Exactly.
Stay tuned.
10:54, Calvin, that means it's time for...
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
As we always say, if you have a thing you think should not be, send it in to Greg and me at Jane Says at civicmedia.us. This from Mediaite. Ahmad Austin Jr. with the byline. The headline reads, watch, tourist flees Italian museum after sitting on Van Gogh chair and crushing it.
I mean.
Last week at a museum in Verona, footage showed a man and a woman posing next to a chair in the museum, the Palazzo Muffin. That too. Posing next to a chair in museum, it was created by an Italian artist. It's called the Van Gogh chair because it is a tribute to Vincent Van Gogh's 1888 painting, Van Gogh's the Chair.
Very convoluted.
This chair was adorned with Swarovski crystals.
Yeah.
First, the woman squatted next to the chair as if she was going to sit on it. The man she was with took a photo of her. Moments later, they switched places. This is where the mistake came in. After remaining in that pose for several seconds, the man then tried to sit in the chair covered with Swarovski crystals. Unsurprisingly, the glass chair immediately broke. It just shattered. He sat on the thing, and it just shattered. The woman quickly helped the man up, and then after taking a moment to realize what they've done, they ran out of the museum. Museum Director Vanessa Carlton telling the BBC this was a nightmare. Of course, it was an accident, but these people left without telling us what they had done. Mm-hmm. This is a nightmare for any museum. At the time of the writing, the people in the video had not been identified. The museum has not given an estimated value for this Van Gogh chair.
I don't want to ask, but I'm going to ask. Do we have any idea where they were from?
We do not yet. I know you're afraid they're Americans.
I am both terrified and not shocked.
I do want to say, though, that my husband and I have done some traveling mm-hmm. and done quite a bit of traveling overseas, yeah. and we were at the Louvre in Paris a number of years ago, and there were people climbing on statues that were not Americans.
Why was there nobody there saying, hey,
Well, because
get off the
statue. Yeah. Eventually someone came around and said, don't climb on the art. But as a species, I just don't know how bright we are sometimes.
I mean, this is just there are little ropes around it. That is the international sign of don't.
Yeah, of don't sit
or
here.
Or you can't get in this club yet. I mean, it's one of the other things. And that is why I think it was two Americans. They saw those ropes and go, it's fine.
Doesn't apply to us.
I'm fine. Well, I want to sit on a bumpy glass chair.
Well, we will keep an eye on this and see if they ever find the perpetrators. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they don't belong to us.
Yeah, I hope they're like Canadian or like Swiss or
somewhere else.
A country that we're jealous of. Or Minnesotans.
We'll just blame Minnesota.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, Minnesota people are too nice. They would never do that.
Oh, they would definitely own up.
You're right. You're right. And then they'd bring a new chair. That wraps up today's episode of
This Shouldn't Be a Thing.
Coming up on the show tomorrow, Dr. Kristen Lyerly is going to join us after 9:30. A number of things happening in the news, including an article in today's Milwaukee Journal Sentinel about a woman with a pregnancy that needed an abortion, and she wasn't able to get the treatment that she needed. Mm-hmm. Her experience, along with much more, we will talk about that tomorrow coming up with Dr. Kristen Lyerly. Thank you, Greg and Calvin and all of our engineers, because without you, nothing works. And thank you most of all for calling and for texting and for listening. It means the world. I hope you find some joy today and you have the chance to share it and keep it right here. We got news coming up next, followed by Tom Hartman from 11 to 2, Todd Alba 2 to 4, Maggie Dawn 4 to 6, and the fantastic Pete Schwabba from 6 to 8 p.m. We are the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll see you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.